College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You ready for the Celtics to be back?
I think I am ready for the Celtics to be back.
I kind of think they're back.
I think they might be. That's a good Cleveland team. You know me, I like Cleveland Cavs. I'm a big Cavs guy.
You're maybe the biggest.
I might be the biggest Cavs guy, and I've been proven right all season long.
Well,
they're a 40-win team. I didn't say they're better than the Celtics. I just said they're the best team in the East.
You never said they were the best team in the East. You just said they were the biggest threat to the Celtics in the East.
Second best team in the East.
Yes.
So record-wise, still the best team in the East. But I think last night, that's your Eastern Conference Finals right there. I think that's how it's going to shake out. I know you still like the Knicks. The Knicks have obviously a couple of, all-star players, but so do the Cavs. And, good win for the Celtics, because even on this little winning streak, we've kind of looked at it and been like, they needed a buzzer beater against the Pelicans, and they dug themselves a 26-point deficit against the Sixers.
The good
Sixers.
News is you came back from 26 down against Philly, but you were down 26 to one of the worst teams in the league.
This was odd. You're like, you'll take the win, because it certainly looked like, all right, that's just going to be a loss. Like, they might just pack their stuff. Nope, they came around. So we hit on that a little bit on Monday because, the weekend was sort of, two wins, but you're still sort of scratching your head a little bit about where they're at. But no, a win on the road against the Cavs, that's, short of winning at Oklahoma City or something like that, that's as good of a win as you can have in the league right now.
Yeah, so I thought it was a real nice win for the Celtics last night. And I think, I know, there's a lot of you out there who feel this way about the Celtics. They're still the best team in the league. No one's arguing they're the most talented team in the league, but the best team in the league, they got a little bored in January and February. They're capable of flipping the switch when they need to. I think if you're in that group who feels that way, this is something I would bring to the table as evidence. I wouldn't crow too loudly about it. Like, you can't be the person who says it's just the NBA regular season. It's January and February. The games are meaningless. Don't worry about this when they lose, and then turn around and thump your chest when they win. I don't think you can do that. But if you want to cite this as evidence where the team can flip the switch, engage, turn it up when they need to, this to me would be a game like that. Now, I'm less sold on Cleveland than you are. I think Mitchell is an absolute killer.
He's awesome.
But I still don't love their options after Mitchell.
You don't like Garland. You're down on Garland.
I don't like Garland.
Do you still think Garland's worse than Peyton Pritchard?
Yeah.
Wow.
I still don't like Darius Garland. He didn't play well last night.
No, I know.
So I don't like Garland. And
I don't know if Peyton Pritchard was great.
No, he wasn't. Pritchard with the 4-point foul end of the game, the turnover at the end of the game. No. Pritchard wasn't great either. But, if Pritchard was on a team next to Donovan Mitchell and got to shoot as much as he did,
true,
I think he'd be okay.
Oh, yeah, Pritchard has bad teammates.
Yeah, no, I'm saying if he got to really use the volume that Darius Garland gets and the touches Darius Garland gets, and he didn't come off the bench, I mean, I think they could be similar players, but whatever.
No, you know who killed them was Mobley.
Mobley was invisible last night.
Mobley is good, but sometimes you see him and he looks like that.
Don't think Jared Allen is, he's a junkyard
rebounding
guy.
Machine.
Yeah, he's a guy who's going to get second chances, and you can throw him lobs. You can't run stuff for him offensively. So Jared Allen, nice player, but if he's your second best player like he was last night, you're not very good.
No.
I came away with that game impressed with Tatum. I don't think Tatum had the greatest numbers last night, but I think when you look at their ball movement and anytime they needed a big possession, when the Cavs would go on a run to cut it from 15 to 8 or 20 to 14 or whatever it was, it felt like the Cavs had some momentum. I feel like Tatum kind of stemmed that tide. The overall numbers weren't great last night. I like Tatum's game last night.
Yeah, I did too. And overall, it looked like a game that I'm like, they're going to take 65 threes tonight. The way the pace started, the way they were just they weren't even making them in the first quarter, but they were just launching.
Neither team could make anything
Nobody could buy a bucket for a while. I mean, Jaylen Brown was scoring, and then that was kind of about it. And I was like, oh, my God, they're going to just take a million threes. So that pace cooled off a little bit. But one of my other takeaways would just be the fact that they had all their guys, and they've sort of tripped over themselves in a lot of these games where they're like, all right, here's the real starting lineup that you want. Here are the real what ended up being four guys off the bench that you want. So if you're going to play nine guys with the Celtics currently, these would be the nine guys. And yet so many times they haven't looked right, or they've lost to inferior opponents, or whatever else it might be. And you're like scratching your head saying, well, what Porzingis is playing and Holiday's playing. Like, what's going on? And they got it done last night. And so we'll see what kind of rotation they have, you know, come playoff time, depending on the matchups, things like that might change. But this is just further proof of the, even when they've had some hiccups along the way, when it goes back to the question of what team is going to beat the Celtics four times in a seven-game series, you're saying, or at least I'm saying, probably not any, right? It might not be pretty. There might be some tough games along the way. You know, unlike last season where they beat everybody in like four or five, maybe this year there's more of a grind. Maybe it is 6-7, but you're still feeling that the Celtics are going
to
win it.
So from that standpoint, the grind aspect of trying to work your way out of the East, which I do think will be more difficult, it's not the way I envisioned it. I thought the Knicks and Sixers both got better in the offseason. Turns out the Sixers did not. They got Embiid back finally last night.
Yeah.
But George hasn't been a good fit. Like,
there
it's
was
not
a
that
good tweet
team.
The other day. Embiid reacted to the Luka Davis trade, and he was like, wow, or whatever. And then somebody retweeted it. It was like, bro, you're not even in the league anymore.
So I thought it would be the Knicks and the Sixers better in the East. It turns out it's the Cavs and the Knicks. So the math still works out the same. I don't think the Celtics need the one seed. I don't think they need it by any means. They're within shouting distance of it now after a head-to-head victory, and they still have Cleveland again, one more head-to-head game this season. They can win 3 out of 4, matched up against the Cavs. I don't think they need it, but the idea that if you get the one seed, not only do you get game sevens on your home floor, but you also maybe avoid that back-to-back nature of Cleveland and New York. Maybe they pick each other off on the other side. I think they could do themselves some favors from that standpoint, but if you're asking me, could the Celtics beat the Knicks in round two and the Cavs in the Eastern Conference final as the two seed? Of course they could.
They definitely could. Right now, it would be, if it just plays out the same, it'd be Heat, Knicks, Cavs on the way to the NBA Finals, which...
But if you catch the Cavs, maybe it's...
And I think they can.
It's like Heat, Orlando, and then the winner of that series. It would just be much easier on you to do that.
Don't you think, was it 32 games left, or 31, I think, for the Celtics, 32 games left for the Cavs? You mentioned the one head-to-head, 4.5 games. The Cavs are clearly off their pace. It's not like the Celtics are a house of fire by any stretch. We just got done talking about how a couple games over 500 for December, couple games over 500 for January. Like, it really wasn't a great stretch. But the Cavs have come back down to earth a little bit. I mean, they're still 40-10. Like, that's a good.
But they started 15-0.
Yeah.
And what does that make them? 25-10 or whatever since that point? Like, that's less overwhelming.
It's definitely doable. And it's one of those things where I don't even know if the Celtics have to really go for it, right? Because we've seen them on nights, either guys are out due to injury or guys are, you know, resting or whatever. And they're still fine, right? They still have so much more talent than most of these teams that they play that I definitely wouldn't rule out them taking the Cavs down for the number one seed and then let the Cavs and the Knicks play each other in the second round and, you know, eliminate each other.
No, so I think that would be the benefit.
Yeah.
It's not a must for this team by any means. I still think they've underachieved based on what we expected out of them, but maybe they're righting the ship. You want to throw that in our faces? You can. 617-779-7937. You could jump in there on the phones and the text line. Do the Celtics need the one seed? How would they match up with a team like Cleveland? Do you even respect the Cavs, which I kind of don't at the end of the day? All your feedback there. You can also interact on Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. We already have a text rolling in here this morning, Keefe. I think Terp changed the header on the Twitter account, maybe on Instagram as well.
Oh, I think also the podcast photo.
Oh, so maybe that is actually right.
We had photo day. We told you about picture day.
That's what this individual is referencing.
Yeah.
They said, good morning. Your show's publicity photo finally popped up in my Odyssey app.
Nice.
A-U-D-A-C-Y.
Yeah.
Now I get the face for radio jokes I've always heard.
Son of a gun.
Burned us.
Setting us up.
I haven't even finished my coffee yet.
I was like, thanks for
already
subscribing. And then, ow! Oh, man.
Do you think that, you take that as a joke about, you take that as a joke about you or me?
Both.
You think that's a both?
It's a combination.
I was hoping
it's
it was
a double
you.
KO. No, I think it's both of us.
I was hoping it was about you. I'm guessing it was about me, but I was hoping
they didn't
it was about
specify,
you.
So I believe it's both.
Okay. If you could follow up on that text, that'd be very much appreciated. You can watch on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. You can see some of the images there. Plus, you can watch on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. Wiggy stirred the pot a little bit this morning. He was wondering why Jaylen Brown didn't play the final 5:30 of the game.
Mm-hmm.
He was speculating, and he had 5 fouls. But he was speculating maybe Jaylen wasn't thrilled about sitting the final 5:30. you can't argue with the fact that he sat the final 5.5 minutes. Why do you think he sat? He was in foul trouble.
Yeah.
The team was playing well with him off the floor. Derek White heated up almost the second he went to the bench. Why do you think he was out the final 5 minutes?
So a couple of things I think could be in play here, or three possibilities, right? Maybe you just feel like the guys on the floor are playing well enough and you're going to be able to close out the game with the guys that you have. That's one possibility. Two, maybe he's dealing with a little something. Maybe, you know, something's barking at him and maybe he's a little bit banged up.
This is what Forsberg suggested last night on the postgame. Forsberg suggested Jalen maybe wasn't fully healthy.
Maybe 100%. Third, and this is not something we've talked about a lot since really year one on the job, but Mazzulla, sometimes Mazzulla would get caught with his pants down in the fourth quarter of games. That was a couple years ago. I don't think that's happened as much. Remember there would legit be games where Derek White wouldn't play in the fourth quarter and he'd be asked about it? He's like, yeah, I didn't realize that. You're like, wait, what?
Right.
So I think that's behind him. But like, sometimes that he just gets so locked in on the game that he doesn't even realize what he's doing. I think it's more likely maybe the second thing. Like if Forsberg is hinting at maybe an injury, maybe he felt like, all right, you know, is he really going to help us out right now? And if he's not 100%, is this something that he needs to rest a little bit? Because, yeah, you have five fouls. Like, okay.
Yeah, put him back in with a minute or two left.
What are you saving him for? Overtime?
Exactly.
Like, if he fouls out, he fouls out.
So I hope it's not they went away from him because the team was playing well down the stretch. Not that I want to wish injury on Jalen, but maybe it was just something like, hey, Terp said he rolled his ankle in the second quarter. I'll be honest, I didn't notice that watching the game. But, okay, maybe he rolled his ankle and Mazzulla said, look, you don't have it tonight. Let's err on the side of caution. I think we got the game anyway. I would hope it's something like that.
You think it's Mazzulla, text line saying Mazzulla kind of punching him for the technical foul?
I mean, he went back in after the technical foul, so I don't think it's that.
Probably not.
He got the technical foul midway through the third. He played in the fourth quarter, so I don't think it's that. But maybe Jalen didn't have the best attitude. That would be a worse situation for me.
But Tatum and Brown are the two guys to me that you're like, all right, things are going great, but we should still get this guy back in. You know, maybe everybody else, like, even as great as Drew Holiday is, like, if you're really rolling on
Pritchard,
a comeback run,
Pritchard you maybe stick rolling, with Pritchard. Like, you stay the hot hand with Holiday. Yeah. You do the same thing with even Derek White, Porzingis, and Horford. You can teeter-totter those two.
Yeah, those guys, you
Tatum
find a way to
get Brown,
back in. You get them back in the game.
Those guys should be out there. I wouldn't blame Jalen if he was pissed and it wasn't communicated to him. Maybe it was an injury. Maybe he was stewing. Maybe it was just foul trouble and the team was hot. I don't blame him for being frustrated. If he was frustrated not playing the final 5:30 of a close game against the team with the best record in the league.
Luckily, Mazzulla was asked about a post game, and oh no, he was not asked about a post game.
Yeah, what happened? Did the Bruins beat writers go to Cleveland and cover the Celtics game last night? What happened with that? We'll get to the Bruins coming up. Meanwhile, big trade. Well, you tell me if it's a big trade, Keith. It's a big team in the East making a trade, or at least it used to be.
We're going to have our trade deadline special tomorrow, but they're going to use all the picks now? Or all the trades now?
Do you want to use our... We got to save that for tomorrow?
I thought we have a different... Is this the NBH sounder?
This is the one, because I haven't made an NBH.
Well, we got to fine-tune it for the trade deadline tomorrow, Keith. It's just a little taste.
All right, what do you have for
breaking
a trade?
From Sean Charania, the Milwaukee Bucks, trading Chris Middleton, A.J. Johnson, and a pick swap to the Wizards for Kyle Kuzma, Patrick Baldwin, and a second-round pick, blah, blah, blah. It's basically Kuzma for Chris Middleton. The Bucks are making a deal.
Wow.
That feels like... I don't know. We have a resident Bucks fan, Jacob, in the other room. Thumbs up or thumbs down on dealing Chris Middleton. Thumbs up or thumbs down. He can't hear me.
He can't hear you. He's just staring at you.
He can't hear me in the other studio.
I don't understand that to be the case. But you didn't mention it's the corpse of Chris Middleton being traded for Kyle Kuzma.
Who would you rather? I mean, Middleton feels done, but who would you rather have, Middleton or Kuzma?
Probably Kuzma.
Yeah?
He's saying Kuzma.
At this point, Kuzma, even with his silly goose outfits that he wears.
Homer Bucks fan in there.
Yeah, he's like, whatever move they make is the best move.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, Middleton really, and a lot of it's been due to injury. He hasn't been good for 4 years.
He feels cooked. I agree with that.
He's washed.
I still think I'd rather hope that you can rekindle whatever you've had in the past with Middleton and Giannis that group.
No, he's done.
As opposed to Kuzma. You think Kuzma's going to come in and help anything?
I think he's better than Middleton
now. Isn't there a problem defense? Kuzma doesn't play any of that.
Well, Middleton doesn't really do much of anything right now.
Middleton probably just stands there, but at least he's been a big game player with a history. I think I'd rather just hold on to Middleton, personally.
Or make another play. Middleton's contract?
Yeah, I thought it was almost up.
Yeah, it should be. I mean, the time is up on this guy. Let's see. He is under contract for this season, and then it looks like a player option. Ooh, he can opt in for $34 million next year.
He's probably doing that in Washington.
Oh, boy.
That's the 5 seed in the East right now making that trade.
He was one of those great guys, though. It happens in every sport where you can only be the most underrated player in the league for so long until you become kind of overrated and then washed.
Yeah.
Right? Do you think Middleton gets bought out?
Maybe.
Yeah, I guess he could. But I don't. I mean, you have to pay him a lot because he's got $34 million guaranteed to him next year.
Yeah, no, it's a good
no
point.
No one's giving him that over
that's
the next
a good
3 years.
Point. Maybe you can't buy that guy out. So, look.
Yeah, that's an interesting trade.
I didn't fear the Bucks anyway.
No.
Middleton's a big name. I didn't fear the Bucks anyway. I probably fear them less with Kyle Kuzma out there.
So he wasn't doing much, but one thing is he doesn't take a lot of threes, but he was hitting a good percentage this year, which Kuzma's not.
Middleton
was. Middleton was 40% from three.
I'm sure if you let him just
stand there.
His dead body out there, weekend at Bernie's his way into a three or two. Like, if you just leave him all alone. But no, I feel like Kuzma.
He had a good run, though.
Kuzma just doesn't. His numbers look okay on a terrible Washington team, but he doesn't know how to play.
Chris.
So I don't think that helps anything.
K H R I S. Classic Chris.
I would say destined to fail, except that guy was a good player for a while. And
he
NBA
was.
Champion.
No, he was good. He was a good player.
But yeah, Chris with a K. K H R I S. I mean, Chris Humphreys didn't have the H, right? He was also a Chris with a K.
He was Chris with a K, but yeah no H. Just K R I S.
Chris Crush Davis.
Chris Crush Davis.
The Milwaukee Brewers.
No, Crush Davis was regular Chris.
Oh, I'm sorry. What was
Chris Davis? The Athletics.
The one who hit 247 for three consecutive years.
Yeah. Maybe Chris with a K works out better than I thought for professional athletes.
Do you want to know what Chris Middleton's nicknames were?
Chris Middleton's nickname.
Yeah. He's three of them.
K-Mid. He was super mid.
Cash Money, spelled K-H-A-S-H.
I like that. How about Crash Bandicoot with a K?
No. WD-40.
WD-40?
Which makes no sense. It's not his initials nor his number.
What number was he?
22. It makes no sense. Oh, there he is, WD-40.
Hey.
Based on what? And then also Baby Joe Johnson, which I don't remember anybody ever calling him Baby Joe Johnson.
I don't remember anybody calling him WD-40.
Or Cash Money. This is outrageous.
Called him K-Mid.
Yeah.
So there you go. You're jumping on that.
Now he's mid.
Yeah. He's sub-mid now. 617-779-7937. Teams are making deals. You got the trade deadline tomorrow. Little taste of that today here on Jones and Keefe. Are the Celtics back? Do you respect the Cavs? Who's the biggest threat in the East? And what's going on with Jalen down the stretch last night? We can get into all of it. Plus, Bruins, big winners last night. Jeremy Swayman with the shutout. Yeah, Billy Lanny with the details here. And we're right back with the latest on the Bruins next.